the Cigar Cast, your weekly one-stop shop for all things cigar-related, including industry news, reviews, and everything in between. We're recording live from Crown Cigars and Ales here in beautiful Brentwood, Tennessee. I'm one of your hosts, Trey Devin. I'm joined, as I am every week, by Mr. Shane Reeves.
You know, I had a great intro line and totally lost it.
Yeah?
In amongst getting all of the stuff ready, for some reason, my intro line flew by the wayside.
Having to deal with 90s grade internet probably didn't help.
Yeah, I practically heard the old dial-up tone. So we'll light our cigars and see if it comes back to me.
All right, sounds good. Well, I pulled up the information on my cigar, but you gifted this to me. Do you want me to talk about it, or do you want to talk about it?
Oh, by all means, you talk about it.
So this is the FQ Phenom number 3. As I understand it, FQ is made in the same factory, the Nicasueño factory, which is where Roma Craft, Bastaña, Guaymara, and Fourth Prime all come out of. It's not a cigar I've had before, but unlike you, I tend to really enjoy everything that comes out of that factory. I like that it's a Churchill, which I assume is probably why you gave it to me, because it's not a shape that you particularly care for. A little birdie told me that you didn't really care for this cigar at all anyway. But it sounds like one that you would have liked. Ecuadorian Habano Maduro wrapper over Nicaraguan binder and Honduran and Nicaraguan filler.
So I pulled that cigar up. I came in the shop last night before poker, and they had that cigar, new cigars, and I bought the Connecticut and the Maduro in that cigar. And I smoked the Connecticut last night and was not thrilled. So I said, well, what I'll do is I'll give the Maduro to Trey, and if he likes it, then it's worth me buying and trying another. If not, I just save myself a bad cigar.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like Mikey. I just give it to you. You'll smoke anything.
Okay. I'll take it.
Give it to Trey. He'll smoke anything.
And then, that's almost true.
Then I think you may like it more than I do, because like you said, you tend to like stuff from that factory. I mean, and I don't dislike Roma Craft. It's never going to be a go-to for me. It's just not, to me, it's not complex enough. Sometimes I get a lot of strength for the sake of strength out of a Roma Craft.
See, I don't get that out of them. I will admit that their flavors aren't as nuanced as some of the other companies that I tend to like as well. But I find that if you go for the right thing, the Intemperance BA21 is phenomenal. I really like the Cro-Magnon line. The other stuff is kind of hit or miss. It depends on my mood. So we'll see. But I also think it has something to do with the fact that you had the Connecticut probably as well.
That may have had something to do with it. But now, to me, I always believe if you don't make a good Connecticut, the Maduro is not going to be better. The Maduro is only going to be better than the Connecticut. And by that, I mean, you got to start with a base. The Maduro is going to build on what the Connecticut is.
That's true. But it also kind of depends on your palate, how you're feeling that night, that sort of thing. Because I've had plenty of Connecticuts that I didn't like, but then had again in a different environment or in different circumstances, and all of a sudden liked it.
So for the third week in a row, I'm smoking a cigar that was gifted to me by a listener.
All right.
He gave me a Leaper's Fork Distillery cigar. So he was touring a friend of ours, Cliff. Thank you for the cigar. Really, really enjoy. Really look forward to it. He was touring the Leaper's Fork Distillery and said something about cigars, and the lady in the corner said, "We have some Habanos over in the corner." He said, "You mean Habanos?" She said, "Is that how it's pronounced?" So they're made, I think he said, by someone in South Carolina. But it's the Leaper's Fork Distillery Spirit of Tennessee Williamson County cigar. I like the wrapper. The wrapper's got a great sheen to it.
It sure does. No, it looks interesting. I might have to go over there and pick one of those up, and depending on what you say about it. Because I'd like to try it as well. It's got a very rustic look to it without being a cheroot. You know, but it has that same kind of old world quality to it. Leaper's Fork, for those who aren't, you know, native to the area, is a small, I guess the best way to describe it is probably a suburb of Franklin, Tennessee, which is a small town. So, but it's become very popular lately among people who want to live near Nashville, have a lot of money, but don't want to live in Nashville. It's where Justin Timberlake recently bought a house. Taylor Swift has a house down there, I think. So it's
Winona Judd had a yard sale at her house.
Is that right?
Down there. We didn't go, but she actually had a yard sale at her house in Leaper's Fork.
But yeah, so Leaper's Fork is kind of that old, it's that older part of town. It still has a lot of land. It hadn't been developed on and put a bunch of tall skinnies on it.
Actually, I know the guy that buried a buffalo for Winona. And all, one of her buffalo passed away.
I feel like we're playing Mad Libs.
I know that's totally random, but it just occurred to me. Somebody that I drew a barn dominium for, some of his family worked for her, and she called and said, one of my buffalo died. I want to bury it. So I would roast it. I mean, I would think on a big spit, fire. I would roast the buffalo, but you don't know what it died of, so it's anything. But I'm interested to light this up. On the initial, the cold draw, I've got a lot of cedary flavor.
Okay.
When you smell the cigar, you can tell it was in a distillery for an extended period of time. It's kind of got that oaky, so I'm foreseeing something very woodsy coming out of this cigar for me, so I'm going to be interested to see exactly how this goes.
Have you ever been over to the distillery?
I haven't.
I went once about 2.5-3 years ago, and one of the things that I found so interesting that is just so cool about that place has nothing to do with cigars or whiskey, is the fact that they built that building with all mortise and tenon. It's all done with joinery. There's not a nail or a screw in the entire place. It's, from a woodworking perspective, it's absolutely gorgeous. So if you don't care about whiskey or cigars or anything, but you just want to admire good craftsmanship, go take the distillery tour.
Well, you know, the small batch whiskey industry is gigantic.
Mm-hmm. And growing.
Yeah,
and it's growing. It's doing what the craft beer industry did about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm right. The initial puff, it's very oaky. I'm getting a lot of that oaky flavor, but it'll be interesting as it heats up, getting a good smoke off of it.
I'm tasting a lot of youth in this cigar. Did you get that out of the Connecticut? It tastes young.
It just didn't hit me. It hit me as very plain. It did not hit me as having a lot of flavor profile.
I'm tasting the strength, if that makes sense.
Right.
But I'm also getting some of those sort of acrid flavors of a young cigar.
Well, you know, for me, it was a definite 3. It was just barely better than not smoking.
Yeah.
It was a low 3. And I'll be interested to see what your opinion of the Maduro version
is. Is that how it struck you to begin with, or did it develop into that?
Well, it was funny because we were actually sitting at the bar, and I said, and I didn't know they came from Roma Craft Factory. I said, so what's the story on this cigar? And Beth said, well, I think it's Nicaraguan. And I lit it and took a draw, and I said, this is not Nicaraguan Puro. I can tell you that. And of course, somebody else is at the bar said, there's no possible way you can tell that. I said, go buy 5 cigars, blindfold me. I bet you I can tell you within 80% accuracy.
Yeah, it's definitely not. And as you alluded to, and as I said at the top of the show, there is Honduran, which, and especially with Honduran filler, that is something you definitely can taste. It's pretty specific in its taste.
Did you think I was going to give you an Alvo Unexpected when we... said I had a cigar for you?
No, I didn't, actually.
Okay, so Cigar Aficionado, they just did the 2019 retailer survey of the best-selling cigar brands, market trends, and more in America. So they polled 173 shops, which is a pretty good sampling. I can get behind this. This ain't like the sample that we talked about last week.
Hang on a second. So Half Wheel only interviewed 33 shops out of the 700 that were at the thing. And to you, that's a horrible sample size. But Aficionado, how many, 173 out of how many thousands of shops are in the country?
But Halfwell had this flippant attitude of, well, some filled out the survey and they had none of the above as a choice and several things like that. So it was the overall gist of Halfwell's attitude toward the survey.
So it's not the quantity, but the quality of the sample size
exactly
that you take umbrage with. Okay.
So what do you think? Dang, that was loud.
It was loud.
What do you think the number one selling cigar brand in the country is right now?
Fuente?
Bingo. Number 2? Let's see if he can go. Let's see if, I've got to, if you can get the top 3, you'll have the hat trick.
CAO?
No, didn't make the top 5.
Okay. I knew I was stretching on that one. Romeo and Julieta?
Didn't make the top 5. One more guess and then I'm going to call it.
Oliva?
Oliva didn't make the top 5. Number 2, Padron.
Surprising.
I was surprised Padron went number one. Here's the one that really, and, you know, we've accused Aficionado of cooking the books a lot on there, and this list kind of reflects that a little.
Okay.
Number three is Ashton. I don't believe Ashton is the number three selling cigar in the country.
If, I mean, within that, though, you've got the La Roma de Cuba line, you've got the San Cristobal line, I still find it hard to believe.
Number four is Davidoff.
I almost guessed them.
And number five is Rocky Patel.
Oh, how did I forget about Rocky?
Yeah, so, you know, not bad. Number five, Rocky Patel. Now, the hottest brands, these are the brands making the biggest moves that have come along the most in 2019. And I'll, number one hottest brand in the country.
Drew Estate.
Padron.
And I'll, they haven't changed a thing.
They're like the great white shark. They are evolutionary perfect.
But I understand them being number two on the list of biggest, but what are they doing to be revolutionary?
They're Padron. I mean, you don't see a great white shark grow a second tail to try to swim faster. When you reach perfection, it just carries on. Now, I think it may also have a bearing of unemployment's at an all-time low. You know, businesses are up. We're in a financial boom in this country. And all, thank you, Mr. Trump. And due to that, more people can afford Padrones, which makes the move come on up.
You're making this hard on me tonight. I'm just going to walk away from that one.
So number two, hottest brand. Now you want to talk about somebody that hadn't done nothing? Let's talk about number two.
Perdomo.
Arturo Fuente.
Oh yeah, okay.
If Padron is a great white shark, Arturo Fuente is an arthritic goat. They have not, you know, they do their special releases and all that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not.
Well, yeah, I'm already against this category. This is a BS category because they're not. Talk about Roma Craft. Talk about even Drew Estate. Talk about any of these companies that are actually pushing the envelope and trying new things. AJ Fernandez.
Well, these are the big brands. I guarantee that's, you know, these are the people that are willing to spend a lot of money with Aficionado.
Clearly, but I just, like, the top five I can understand and I can get behind in terms of the best selling in the country. But this list, this category of being some, what was it, revolutionary? Was that the word you used?
Hottest brands.
No, I'm sorry. I don't buy this at all. There's no one sitting around talking about what's new from Fuente or from Padron because there isn't anything.
Okay, well, we're going to go to a list you can get behind.
Okay.
The best-selling sizes. What sizes of cigars are the best-selling? What is the best-selling size of cigar in this country?
Toro.
Number two.
Robusto.
Number one.
They're always one and two, and they flip-flop from time to time.
Yeah, Robusto, Toro, Grande is number three, 6x60. Churchill, which is what you're smoking, and Isles number four. Figurado is five, and Corona is five. So they must have tied.
Gotcha.
Which I don't see a lot of Figurado. You don't find as much Figurado, but it's only 2.5% of the market.
Fuente sells a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah, hence the list. But, you know, the hottest brands, the only mention of Drew Estate was in the hottest brands, and they did put Liga Privada at number four.
I consider that more of a line than a brand, but it must be where Drew Estate's spending their money with Aficionado.
Yeah, well, and then La Flor Dominicana and Davidoff tied for number seven.
I'm sorry, I've got to pull the show over for a second. We've been doing this show for 2.5 years. This is the first time you've pronounced the name of that company correctly.
What do I call it?
La Flor Dominica.
Oh, okay.
You actually said La Flor Dominicana for the first time since I've known you, Shane. This is a banner day. Roll out the ticker tape.
First and foremost, though, let me congratulate you on never correcting me on that. And since we got the show pulled over and got the wheels off anyway, folks, don't go through life trying to correct somebody else. It gets you nowhere. unless it's something that's going to cause their imminent demise, just let it go. You don't have to be the grammar police. But yes, I did pronounce it correctly, and henceforth I will never do it again. Just think you should know about that. I want to hit a different article now. This is from thepostmillennial.com.
Okay.
Don't know what the postmillennial, where it's at. Don't know a thing about it other than they wrote an article about cigars that I pulled up today. Are cigars syntax worthy?
I was hoping this was the article that you were about to talk about.
So it's interesting because this is actually...
Can we just get rid of the term syntax? I absolutely hate that.
It is kind of Puritan in its archaic
qualities. I can't think of anything... By that definition, if we're going out to eat on Sunday, or should we have to pay a syntax on that? There are so many things that this could fall into based on your... Basically, anything that you enjoy, you have to pay a syntax on.
Right.
Should you have to pay a syntax on golf clubs?
If I light the candles and have a romantic night with my wife, do I have to send Bill Clinton $25?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people. But, yes, the syntax is an archaic form of taxation, but... So, the interesting thing about this is really very little to do with the syntax. It talks about a 2000 study conducted by the FDA. Now, this article was written by Wyatt Claypool. He's a third-year policy studies and history student at Mount Royal University.
Okay.
And he serves as president of its campus conservatives. He's also a conservative board for Signal Hill. I'm just giving him his credit because I do like what he did here. 2016 study conducted by the FDA found that 1 to 2% cigars per day is associated with minimal significant health risk. And now, FDA came back on this and talked about the study had used a large sample of 22 previous studies. So this wasn't just a single study. This was 22 previous. And each had to meet 95% statistical confidence rating. So this is a serious study. This is a study the FDA did, and they've started whacking away at it, even though it's their study.
Right.
Because, okay.
Of course, because they didn't find what they were hoping to find.
Sure. So here's the interesting thing they said. When looking at all causes or smoking-related mortality, now this is one reason they did not like this survey, because this survey did not consider cigarette smokers and cigar smokers both in the same category.
As well they shouldn't be.
As well they shouldn't. Now, they said that cigar smokers have an 8% higher mortality rating from smoke-related causes compared to lifelong non-smokers. But that mortality rate changed. I'm going to have trouble saying mortality the whole night. That mortality rate changed when you took people that smoked cigarettes and then just switched to cigars as opposed to people who only smoke cigars.
Because then there's no difference.
Yeah. I've never smoked a cigarette. I mean, I've smoked a cigarette, but I never smoked cigarettes. And I'm not going to say one's never touched my lips, but it never was an enjoyable experience.
Right. It was never a habit thing.
No, never was something that I thought I would like. The other thing about this... So, cigar smokers who had one to two per day saw a 112% increase in oral cancer mortality and a 545% increase in larynx cancer mortality as opposed to non-smokers. Okay, but in the house plan business, I'm going to say a elephant trainer has a 545% better chance of getting trampled by an elephant and killed than I do as a home designer. Is that not a fair statistic? So that's really what they're doing here. They're really saying, okay, well, if you never did it versus, well, this is, then virtually, you know, it's like gun statistics are always misreported because if somebody shoots themselves and commits suicide, it doesn't go under suicide, it goes under gun violence. So they always skew the statistics to favor themselves. And that's exactly one thing this article pointed out was they're talking about if you're comparing 1 to 2 day cigar smokers to people who have never touched tobacco in their life, well, of course. I mean, okay, what's the chances of a camel herder in Saudi Arabia drowning? They're kind of pulling the same conclusions.
Well, it's also like the mortality rate of airline pilots in plane crashes versus everybody else. When you look at the fact that they spend 1,000% more than your average other person in an airplane, but only have a 300%, I mean, greater mortality rate, it's the same kind of thing. We're spending, I mean, if you think about the lifelong non-smoker, the amount of time you spend around smoke is going to be 70 million times greater, whatever. I mean, you can't multiply by zero, but the point is, you know, you're taking a huge exposure, reducing it to only 500% increase. I mean, that's
right.
That's, you know, that's negligible at best.
Nuns of STDs. That's really what they're trying to pull together here.
Right.
So now the other thing he said about this is, the majority of American states and Canadian provinces have high sin taxes on cigars, the majority which are above 35%. But certain acceptably products, he phrased that weirdly, like soda, have measurably worse health effects and no sin tax.
Right.
So this goes back to what we started the article with. Okay, and what is a sin? Yeah. You know, what is a sin tax?
Should fast food have a sin tax? I guarantee you, a lifelong fast food eater versus someone who's never eaten fast food in their life, if you can find that person, I don't think you can, they're going to have a way higher mortality rate due to obesity and poor food quality related illnesses than someone who's never touched it.
But good article. I'm really happy that he's bringing this out. I wish it was on something a little more mainstream than the post-millennial.
Well, we'll share it, and maybe our four followers will share it, and then maybe we'll make it go viral.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a worthwhile article. He approached it from a realistical reality on reality's terms. Yes, we know smoking increases our health risk. Smoking, but the amount of stress I lose.
I was just about to say I'd love to see the stress-related illness and mortality rate of a cigar smoker versus a tobacco abstainer.
Right. Well, all the government wants you to do is work and send them most of the money. That's right. Really their goal in life. And also, they're going to try to skew the statistics to support, to try to scare people into doing that.
Right.
I'm way up on my soapbox.
As if the government has any right to say how we spend our money anyway. Like, the sin tax is such a horrible thing in and of itself that we're not going to make this illegal, but if you want to do this, even though it has no bearing on or effect on us or your fellow man whatsoever, we're going to make you pay more to do it.
Well, it's, you know, the Home Builders Association fought the privilege tax for many years. If you buy a house in Tennessee, you're going to pay $8,000 to $9,000 for the privilege of owning a house. They
Which
call
is
it
ridiculous.
A privilege tax. Yeah, they have decided that one of the basic needs, shelter, is a privilege. That
right.
Owning a house is a privilege and that they should be able to tax you for that.
Yeah, makes me wonder how many politicians own rental properties.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. But anyway, now I got another hot topic since we're debating stuff here. I actually had a great conversation in here the other day with a gentleman that owns vape shops.
I came in on the tail end of this conversation.
Yeah, you came in after he and I had done locked horns for, you know, 45 minutes and agreed to disagree as gentlemen, which is the beauty of a cigar shop.
True.
We got to lock our horns, we agreed to disagree, and moved on as gentlemen. San Francisco has decided no vaping. They don't want vaping in San Francisco. They've basically put the most stringent vaping laws in the country in effect in San Francisco.
Okay.
So, vaping is... I hate vaping.
No, I do too.
I think it's absurd. I don't know anybody that's ever quit smoking by vaping.
I know a couple.
But did they just start vaping?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so did they really, you know, okay, so, yeah, vaping is what we talked about earlier. Yeah, vaping's better than cigarettes, but nothing's better than vaping.
Well, true, but at the same time, you always... Everything in life is in balance. You always trade one addiction for another, whether it's a hobby or whether it's an actual addiction or whatever. You're always going to trade one for the other. If you stop smoking cigars. You would fill your whether you're addicted to it or not, you would have to fill your time with something else.
Right, I'd have to have something
else. I gave up
else.
Drinking and I exercise like a freaking maniac now. Like that's the replacement for me. So if now granted vaping is too young for us to truly know the health effects long term versus short term and how extreme they are, but I mean one could argue that it's better for you than smoking 3 packs a day.
Well, sure.
So you know, so I mean, yes, if you give up cigarettes, but now you have this other disgusting hobby, okay, or habit, or whatever it is, okay, yeah, but that's the trade-off.
Well, here's my complaint with vaping. Vaping makes nicotine palatable to children. If vaping wants me on board, then I want all the tutti-frutti, fresh and rooty, whatever flavors gone. I don't want
mostly
mango.
Because I don't want to smell it.
Oh, it
because it doesn't. It smells sweet, but in a bad way.
I always think less of the human being when they blow out a big plume of grape.
Yeah,
and it wafts across the store. It's like, what are you for? You know, have you not left the yummy phase of life? But here's the thing.
So you walk around a corner. Ooh, waffles. Oh man.
If vaping, you put grapes on your waffles.
No, I'm just talking about the sweet smell in general.
But if vaping is truly a nicotine replacement, that's great. Let's pull the flavors. Pull the flavors, and you will not hear me complain about vaping. But as long as you have to have, you know, mango, cherry, banana, you know, fritz in your vaping, you're making it palatable to children.
Right. I would agree with that.
That's the only purpose
and
for
I'm
that.
And I'm not coming out in favor of vaping. Let's be clear here. I think it's pointless. I don't like the way it smells. I think it looks ridiculous.
Well, so we're going to step away for a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about, I want to talk about an American-made guillotine cutter that I'm very excited about. I want to talk about a first-generation immigrant living the American dream due to cigars and 5 hurricanes that changed cigar history.
Well, all right. Well, we'll be back with that and more after this.
Shane here with this week's Cigar Under 8. This week, I'm pushing the envelope a little. This is
only under 8 in one size.
It's kind of over 8, but there's an 8 in it. And also, it's like 835, 865, right. But it's well worth it. We're talking about the H. Upman Grupo de Maestros.
You know, as price increases and things hit the industry, it's getting harder and harder to fill this category. So I'm going to allow the fudging of the envelope because this is such a good cigar.
Incredible cigar for the price, and I would pay $12 for this cigar.
It's absolutely a $12 cigar.
It is a Ecuadorian Connecticut shade wrapper. It's a Dominican Republic binder and Dominican and Nicaraguan fillers.
And don't let that Connecticut shade wrapper fool you into thinking that this is just a mild, bland cigar. It's packed with a ton of flavor.
It is. It's just great. It's a bright yellow wrapper. It's got usually has a dark tip on it, especially I even like this in the Torpedo. Torpedo is actually my favorite shape because you get a little more of that dark tip.
Yeah.
And just an excellent cigar, a great smoke. And until next week, try the H. Upman Grupo de Maestro. Welcome back to the Cigar Cast. One of your hosts, Shane Reeves, sitting across from Trey Deadman, who will be starring in the new Police Academy reboot.
And I'm not really good at sound effects and impressions, though.
No, well,
I think if I were going to do it, I'd want to replace Michael Winslow.
Oh, is that? See, he's to me the least talented guy on Police Academy.
Yeah, but it made it fun. You hate impressions.
I do. That's impressions.
That's your least favorite kind of comedy. So it makes sense that you would think he's the least talented. But I would argue that that's not necessarily the case.
And Steve Guttenberg, whose last movie he starred in was Lavalantula
with Ralph Garman.
Oh yeah. And I did like the old Police Academy movies. I still sit and watch them, all 6 of them. Even the last 2 that didn't have Gutenberg in them, I'll go ahead and watch them. But I still like them, and they're saying they're going to reboot it, so I thought that would be the joke for the night. But moving forward, let's talk about something happy. First half of the show, we kind of grumbled a little. I want to talk about something happy. A first-generation immigrant has built a top-region cigar destination. Dehiren Shah, owner of Karma Cigar Bar in Maryville, Illinois. Now, this comes from the NWI Times. I guess the I stands for Illinois. I don't know what the
Northwest.
Northwest. There you go. Northwest Illinois Times. He's built a cigar destination. His father owned a small tobacco shop, and he had a vision for a cigar destination. And this has become a destination that people out of Chicago say, okay, I can drive just a little bit south and be down here at this cigar lounge, Karma Cigars, and enjoy that. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it, but is that not the American dream?
I think it is. I think finding a hole in the market, being able and willing to fill it with something that the consumer needs, and doing it a way that, I mean, because it's one thing to open up a neighborhood cigar shop and everybody in the neighborhood goes there, but it's something else entirely when you're doing so well at your job that people are coming from all over to come visit.
Yeah, how do you create a destination as opposed to just a cigar lounge?
That cigar is putting off so much smoke.
Yeah, it's burning good. It's the Leaper's Fork Distillery cigar. It's not very complex. It's very good, but it's very woodsy. It feels like a distillery cigar, like a cigar that you would get at a distillery. It's exactly as advertised.
But, I mean, you're not even smoking it right now, and it's just the amount of smoke that's coming off of it is continuous.
Yeah, very. But I'm really enjoying it. It's burning slow. It's got that rough texture. It does feel more akin to a Tirano or something like that. But just an excellent flavor, not going to overpower you. My palate's
definitely
not going to be burned out. Yeah. Definitely not going to burn out my palate. You know, I smoked the new Palstein War Bear when I got here earlier today. I got in here early today, and I smoked the Palstein War Bear. Decent. Probably a 3.5. And I'm probably giving it a little more credit than it deserves because I had to pay $14 for it. Right. And I'll, you know, if oaky, calm,
and that's out of the same factory that what I'm smoking tonight.
A hint of Wet Dog. So, you know, not terrible, but definitely not something I'm, you know, Austin was out there with me and he said, well, I'll ask you the big question. Will you buy another one? No. And I'm not even in the bargain bin. But anyway, back to the cigar I'm smoking, the Leaper's Fork Distillery cigar. I like it. And I can see this being the perfect cigar for that scenario. You're finished with the distillery tour. You want to sit on the back porch, maybe have a little of their whiskey, smoke a cigar. Perfect choice for that. Well,
excellent.
Balanced.
Excellent.
What do you think about yours?
I'm still getting a lot of youth out of it, which I'm not crazy about. But, you know, I like it. It's not complex, flavor-wise. It's pretty much a one-note chord. But the Honduran tobacco is balanced really well in the Nicaraguan. I really like the Ecuadorian Habano Maduro wrapper. I don't know that it's something I would seek out. I think, what's the price point on this? Like $12?
Yeah, like $12.
I don't know that I would go for another one. There's too much else in that price range that I like just a little bit more. Side by side with an Avo Heritage, I'm taking the Avo every time.
Oh, definitely.
At the same price.
It's nowhere near Avo Heritage class cigar.
Right.
No, that's just my opinion. And it's not throwing off a lot of smoke either.
No, it's not. It's drawing well. It's drawing very well. And it puts off a decent plume of smoke when I'm smoking it. It's just not sitting here like it's got a stick of hickory running through the middle of it like yours is.
Well, so let's talk about something fun. Cigar Aficionado released an article this week, 5 Hurricanes That Changed Cigar History. It is hurricane season.
As we have been getting the remnants from all week.
Oh, yeah. It is definitely hurricane season. And they listed 5 hurricanes that basically majorly impacted the cigar industry because cigars are grown in the tropics, and that's the native, you know, land of hurricane. Hurricane George, the storm that created the Añejo. This is the main one. Hurricane George was a Category 4 storm that hit in 1998, causing more than $1 billion in damage to the Dominican Republic. The storm took down several tobacco barns on Chateau de la Fuente, where the company grows the wrapper for Fuente Fuente Opus X. So that year, with no curing barns to house the tobacco, Fuente had a shortage of wrappers, so it halted production of the Opus X and created the Añejo brand using the same filler and binder as Opus X, but a Connecticut broadleaf wrapper.
Interesting. I didn't know that that was the origin story for that.
That is the origin of the Añejo, I would argue, is better than the Opus.
I think it is, personally.
Most years, definitely cigar for the money. Cigar for the money, the Añejo destroys the Opus. But I just like the, you know, given the choice, they're both free, I got to choose between an Añejo and an Opus.
I'll take an Añejo.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty much interesting. Cuba, their 2008 hurricane season made the list. I'm not going to talk a lot about that because it was Cuba, so it didn't really affect us much.
Right.
Especially in 2008. Hurricane Mitch, 1998, is the deadliest on record in Central America, but the rain, not the wind, did most of the damage. The storm swept away most of the soil from the tobacco fields and destroyed the infrastructure of Central America's cigar production. So we're talking about Nicaragua, we're talking about... And when you talk about wiping away that soil, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. I mean, that's what makes... You know, we compare cigars to wine quite a bit in how this field to that field makes a difference. This year to that year makes a difference in the quality, the flavor, and the production quantities. You know, so they even rotate their fields. They'll plant... I forget what it is.
Usually soybeans.
That's what it is, yeah.
Returns the nitrogen to the...
Right. So if you lose that soil, that's going to have a very dramatic impact on your crop.
We have a listener that's going to correct us both on that next week. Because he's a master gardener, and he'll know exactly what the soil has the impact for. So I look forward to that. Gilbert, the storm that changed Jamaica. So Jamaica was once a cigar industry powerhouse. Macanudo were made in Jamaica. Also, the Royal Jamaican brand.
Mm-hmm.
So both were made from locally grown tobaccos. I'm talking too fast. And September 1988, when Hurricane Gilbert slammed into Jamaica with a 19-foot storm surge and 125-mile-an-hour winds.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's a storm.
It maimed the nation's cigar industry, and they've never recovered. I don't even think Macanudos are even made in Jamaica anymore.
They're not. And I think there's maybe one or two cigars left that use Jamaican tobacco.
Yeah, even Royal Jamaican cigars are made in the Dominican Republic now.
Right.
Thanks to this storm. So that's pretty big. The other one, now this is the one most close to home to us. The Key West Trio, 1909, 1910, and 1919, is what crippled the American cigar industry.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There were, in 1890, there were 130 factories in the city in Key West, rolling 100 million cigars annually. But the hurricanes hit Category 4 storms, and the beast destroyed or seriously damaged every cigar factory in town.
Wow.
And rather than rebuilding the factories with the labor laws already in place, this is interesting because this is really something that destroyed the American cigar industry,
yeah,
producing cigars. So I thought that was an interesting article. I think it's, you know, when you deal with an agricultural product, weather is a big factor. And that's what, you know, we should step back and think for a second. How amazing is it that any company can deliver us the same cigar year in and year out?
Yeah, I mean, that goes... I think that's a big testament to the fact that, you know, the seed you use and the growing technique you use certainly has an impact, but more than anything else, it's the fermentation process, the curing process, and the blending that makes all the difference.
So, moving forward, I want to talk about... Article came out this week. This is from, we've never had an article from here, GamesRadarPlus.com. And we spoke about this last week with Netflix taking tobacco use out of their Netflix. Well, now,
right.
Gear 5, which is a
Metal part, Gear 5.
Yeah, Gears of War universe.
Oh, okay.
And all, they have decided there will no longer be cigars in their video game.
So is the Colonel smoking a bubble pipe? Is that...
Well, here's my question. Hey, son. Okay, yes, blow the guy's brains out, chop him up with a chainsaw, run over him with a bulldozer, but don't smoke a cigar.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to desensitize them, are you not desensitized all the way over? I mean, are video games, you know, these are super violent video games. It seems to me like this is definitely majoring in the minors. Now, I will say this don't matter to me, and it don't matter to the average cigar smoker.
No. The crossover between... hardcore video game enthusiast and cigar smoker is a very small sliver on that Venn diagram.
Well, you know, I was thinking this week about places where there's no cigars being smoked. The people setting up the Area 51 raid.
Yeah, there's no cigar smokers.
There's no
in
cigar
there.
Smoker, which Area 51's got that death ray that the aliens gave them that causes hacky sacks and vape pens to explode. That'll kill half the guys right there. And by the way, that's a stupid. It'll be, I guarantee you, it's going to be three hippie chicks and 10 guys show up. And if that's going to be it.
No. Surely no one, never mind. Of course someone's that stupid.
It's a top secret facility, for crying out loud. And you know what? I'm okay with it being a top secret facility. I don't need to know.
And the thing is, whether you believe in aliens or not, the likelihood that there would be anything, even if you do storm the guard gate and get on the property, you really think you're still going to be able to get into any of the triple security locked doors with retinal scanning and biometric security?
Well, okay, and here's exactly what would happen. Let's say 150,000 people showed up at Area 51. They said, fine, come on in, take a look around. The next day, they'd all be saying, oh, yeah, they knew we were coming, so they moved the aliens.
Right, of course.
You know, it's
that's what happens when you broadcast it on Facebook.
Yeah, it's a never-ending piece of nonsense, but now this is something that's not. This is from Gear Junkie. I like Gear Junkie, the website, but EDC is one of my passions. Everyday carry, I love to have the right stuff.
There. There is, no, I'm sorry. There is a music festival in Las Vegas every year called EDC. It's the Electric Daisy Carnival. It's a bunch of like techno and...
Yeah, I need a handheld model of that Death Ray we talked about earlier to take that place out.
But it took me a second because I really thought you were talking. I was going to be very concerned that over the 4 years that I've known you, that this had never came up, that you were into electronic music.
It should not. You know, electronic music is like saying...
Is an oxymoron?
Yeah, it's like saying the largest dwarf. It's really... If it's electronic, it's not music. I don't care who you are or if you don't like it or what, but go suck on your vape pen and listen to that, and I'll have no use for you in my life. But moving forward, back to something happy. So Everyday Carry, Gear right. Junkie. American-made guillotine-style cutter to cut that cigar in style. So have you ever had a Benchmade knife?
Yes.
Some of the finest knives. Well, Benchmade has gotten into the cigar cutter business. And all. And if you take a look at that...
That is gorgeous.
It's basically the Benchmade blade put into the cigar cutter.
How big is the opening on that? It looks small. It looks kind of like the old school cigar cutters you used to see.
It does. It don't look like it would handle anything over a 54 or anything like that. They don't
have the
dimensions. I would
have said like a 48.
Well, they don't have the dimensions on here.
So back in the day in, you know, sort of the 20s and teens... The Double Perfecto was the most popular size in the country. And so a lot of the antique cigar cutters you find from that era pretty much only have a ring gauge of about 42 to 48 at their maximum. And it's because they were all that Double Perfecto, so they came to a taper on one end. So that was all you needed. This the styling of that reminds me very much of that style cutter.
Okay, what would you pay for the Benchmade cigar cutter? Let me justify it a little for you. I'm gonna make this a little easier.
Is mother of pearl handle? Is that what it looked like?
Yeah, they have some with the mother of pearl. They have some that are the Benchmade gold that has the gold class cutter and the S90V steel, and then they have the Damascus blades. But I'll just give me a range. Only 50 of the gold are available, so that tells you what the price on those are going to be. The others are very limited production. Their Benchmade is only making these for 1 year.
Okay.
Until they start selling like hotcakes, and then they'll expand that out.
Say $150 to $500?
$450 to $1,200.
Okay.
The gold is the $1,200 cutter. And that's about right, because a good Benchmade pocket knife is still around that $300 range. You know, you're still going to be spending that just on a good Benchmade single blade.
That's true. I was forgetting that they had gotten that high. I was trying to come in kind of at the base of where their pocket knife started.
But really cool looking. You know, you can go to gearjunkie.com and take a look at this article. Very cool looking cutters. I love an American-made cutter. I love the Benchmade company.
Will you pick one of these up?
Probably not. Probably not going to choke out $450 for a cutter under any circumstance. I mean, I can wear out four Calibris before that becomes an actual issue.
And then some.
Yeah. So not really a big deal. The other article I want to cover is from Haunt Residence.
Okay.
And luxury cigar rooms are the new man caves.
God, I hate that term.
Man cave or luxury cigar room?
Yeah, man cave.
I hate the term man cave because so many people try to use that as an excuse. Why don't you just call it, you know, they used to call it a rumpus room. They used to call it a bonus room.
Or den.
Yeah. Just call it what it is. You don't have to call it a man cave. You don't have to insinuate that you must send us to our cave.
Well, not only that, the idea that this is my room and no one else in the family is allowed to be in here kind of thing.
Well, now, that's some of the exclusivity that people like. You know, I have a lot of people come into my office and, oh, this is going to be his man cave and she can't wait to get in it. Here's the thing. If you're going to call it a man cave, you better draw a buffalo on the wall. I expect you to
better
be
yet,
itching.
Better stuff one and put it up on the wall.
That's right. I know where one's buried.
Now, that's a callback. I'm impressed.
All the way from the front of the show, darling. Now, luxury cigar rooms are the new man caves. And some of these pictures, man, you should scroll through these pictures of what these people are
but
doing.
But isn't this just, I mean, it's not that luxury cigar rooms are the new man cave. It's just that the people who are building their man caves these days happen to be cigar smokers, and that's what they're building it around. Well, has it really changed in the, oh, man.
Yeah, there's some beautiful ones in that article. It's like I said, it's Haught Residence is the name of the company. But
this one room probably costs more than my house.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, getting a good air filtration system. We did a whole show. I'd have to look back and find what episode was about actually how to create your cigar room. But
that one right there is my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Big leather couch, high shelves full of wine and whiskey. I mean, they've really did it upright. That's a $4,000 chandelier. You know, they've really did that one upright. But if, you know, I bought a lottery ticket earlier today. If I won the lottery tonight, I wouldn't build a cigar room at my house because part of the fun for me is meeting the people.
True.
I mean, that's a big part of it is I want to come and meet the people and talk to everybody.
The thing is, and I've talked about this, I would love to have a cigar room in my house. And we've talked about it. I know that it's not something that you necessarily thumb your nose at. But at the same time, yeah, there's something about getting out of the house to smoke your cigars every once in a while. I talk all the time about how I'm not addicted to the cigars themselves, but there are days when I just need to be around people. I need that human interaction. I need to, and I know I can come into a cigar shop and I can find that camaraderie and I can find people to talk to and I can hang out, and that's what really does it for me.
By the way, I have a new cigar store fantasy.
Strap in, folks.
Well, I love, and this has only started happening in action movies in the last 10 years. Where the police chief walks in and says, "Give me the room," and everybody else leaves, and it's just him and the one rogue detective.
Uh-huh.
I want to do that in here. One night we're all going to be sitting at the bar, and when Austin comes in, I want to say, "Give me the room,"
and we all just scatter like cockroaches
in
a New York
at the
apartment.
Bar gets up and takes their drink and walks away, and then I lean forward with my cigar and look Austin right in the eye and say, "When are you getting Don Gonzalez cigars in here?" You know, but I have the give me a room
it's
fantasy.
It's the new version of the Old West movie where the one guy walks in and everyone just clears.
Oh yeah, the music stops.
Yeah.
Oh that'd be great. I need to add that to it. Yeah. So we need to get all the guys at the bar together one night, and when we know Austin's coming in, and I want to do the give me the room move. I just really feel like that's going to be necessary in the future of my life.
The problem is he doesn't watch movies, so he won't get the reference at all.
Well, I just like the consternation that'll come across his face. Because, you know, he's a younger guy, so that'll really give him a lot of stress when I say, "Give me the room."
Oh, yeah.
And everybody gets up and moves. We got to get everybody on board for this at some point.
All right, I'm in.
Okay, good. You can help me spread the word. And so what's your week in cigars been like? What's been interesting that you've smoked this week?
I have actually been cutting way back on my cigars lately. I did have another one of the Nicaragua 1844 Romeos by, or H. Upman by A.J. Fernandez. I can't get enough of that cigar right now. And, you know, it's been tough smoking outside and in my car lately. I've had so many cigars blowing up on me because the humidity has been 85% and 90 degrees here. It's been ridiculous. I actually just picked up a couple of budget bundles offline that I've been kind of enjoying.
you know, this is the high humidity makes it hard to smoke. The heat ain't bad. We can get around the heat. You know, I hung two new ceiling fans on my porch this week. I've got them all put together. The only blood I spilled was the Tomtine. I made my wife swear not to tell her sister that I could hang ceiling fans.
Right.
So they hung, and you can conquer the heat, but the humidity is just relentless. But now Austin just got back. He was telling us before the show, he just got back from Vegas. He said up there he had to cut his cigar smoking back because he was getting nosebleeds and everything else that goes with that.
There's no humidity out there.
Yeah, because there's just absolutely none. So it's interesting how that actually affects life. But so pronounce judgment upon your cigar.
I'm going to give it a 4. It's good. It's not, but it's just, I don't know that I'll ever have another one. It's too flat.
And give the name of it again. I've already forgot the name.
The
FQ Cigars.
Yeah, it's a something number 3, the Prodigy or the Promise or the Phenom number
Phenom.
3.
You were so close.
I knew it was something with a P.
Oh yeah, I guess Phenom is spelled with a P.
Yeah. It's not phenomenal. I'll say that.
Okay, it's definitely not. Well, you know, he's got a bunch of boxes of them in the humidor, and I figure they're going to be there a while.
I hope not, for his sake. If these hit the bargain bin, I'll pick a couple more up, but that'll be it.
It did not impress me at all. Now, the Leaper's Fork Distillery cigar, I've really enjoyed. It's exactly as advertised. It's nothing amazing. It's not a triumph of the cigar industry, but it is well made. It is burned evenly. I've had a little bit of a blowout on the end, but it's just a crack in the wrapper. It's not an actual rupture.
Right.
And just exactly as advertised, you know, I give it a 5. I'd definitely smoke another one.
Excellent.
And I can definitely see the situation.
It's probably cheaper than this one.
Probably. But really good cigar, bright green label. You can only pick them up there, so it's going to make it a little more hard to get to. But it has the feel of a handmade artisan product.
Yeah.
Which is really something I like in the cigar industry. And so how do people get a hold of us, Trey?
Well, you can reach us via email at info@thecigarcast.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thecigarcast and Instagram and Twitter at thecigarcast.
Well, thanks everybody for listening this week. And until next week, have a great cigar and think well of us.